and welcome to the Satisfied God Podcast. Although this is not going to be a normal episode, this is going to be a very short episode. And the reason is, I'm actually right now, you could probably hear the rain coming down. I'm sitting in a car
outside of a hospital in Florence, South Carolina. My wife's father, Alan, is currently having surgery, major surgery. There's a lot of concerns because of other underlying health issues. There's a lot of concerns during the surgery, so I'm here. My wife's in the hospital. They're not allowing a lot of people to come into the hospital, of course, with this coronavirus situation. So I'm sitting in the parking lot and just waiting on them to let me know what happens and, you know, be there, go in if I can, and be there with her after the surgery and support the family whatever way I can. So while I'm sitting in the car and just waiting, I thought I would turn on the recorder on my phone and just talk to you for a little bit. We just had a session yesterday. Day before yesterday. We just had a session on a Sunday morning with the group here in South Carolina, and my sharing with them was about something that we've already looked at in the podcast, and it was the predetermined wage, the parable in Matthew 20, where the man goes out, the lord of the vineyard or the master of the house goes out and hires workers to labor in the vineyard. Now, we've talked about that. The thing that struck me as I was looking through the notes again the other day, just kind of an impromptu session. I didn't know if we were going to have anything or not. Everybody else is canceling meetings, so I didn't know, but we ended up having it, and just looking at the last minute over the notes, the thing that struck me was at the very end of the parable, where the men who were hired first but paid last begin to murmur and complain and truly confront the Lord of the vineyard because of the pay that he gives them. Now, remember, they had agreed. There was already an agreement to that as the wage with this man. And see, that should cause us to consider the primary meaning of that parable. That these people were acutely aware of the wage that was coming because it was made known to them, this is the wage you're going to get. So to me, that speaks very beautifully with regard to the Jews under the law, Israel under the law, and God in every testimonial way, in every every manner of typification, if that's even a word, every way he could paint a picture and point to the Messiah, point to the man that would come, point to the one who would fulfill his intention for them as an entire nation and all men, ultimately. He did it in types and figures. He did it in every way possible. Basically, they had an agreement. I think you can see it even with the giving of the law, because that is one of the most beautiful testimonies of a perfect life, a perfect man, the Messiah himself, the one who does not commit adultery, that cannot bear false witness, that, you know, all of those things are a testimony of a perfection of righteousness that men could never hope to achieve. And that was the whole point of the law, not to make them holy, but to simultaneously prophesy of the holiness of the coming Messiah, the Son of God himself, and condemning the ones who could never reach or attain that level of holiness, that level of perfection. And then in the midst of the condemnation, declaring to them the necessity that they be recipients of the life of this one of whom these words testify. So these people knew what the payment would be. But the payment didn't come the way they thought. It didn't come in the way, in the manner, in the denomination they thought it would, of course. But these men come to him, having agreed upon the wage, knowing what it would be. And they begin to complain because of the pay, not because they didn't want the penny, but because the ones who had worked only 1 hour out of the day, which primarily, again, speaks of the Gentiles coming in at the end of that age or that day of labor, that they got the same thing. Those Gentiles who came in received the same pay. So when they confront the man, they confront the Lord of the vineyard, their statement to him is very telling. Their anger was not that a penny wasn't sufficient because it was the daily wage of the day. The true problem that they had was that that pay being equally dispersed to them and the ones who only worked 1 hour made them equal to one another. And we can't have that, right? There is a true hatred. And can we bring it now into the Christian world? Right now, present day, Christians. There is a true problem that Christians have with the equality of righteousness, the equality of spiritual blessings, the equality that we have in Christ, being that He is made unto us all equally righteousness, sanctification, redemption, justification, that is who He is. And that equality means that the levels that we have manufactured, the means and the tools that we have created in our own imaginations that we believe will deepen our relationship with God and give us an advantage over another believer because we found a secret or we know more or we have more because we work harder. Remember, we've talked about it. The labor, the quality or the quantity of labor did not determine the wage. He had determined the wage before anyone was even sent into the vineyard to labor. Why? Because he has only one wage to give. He did not inspect their work. He did not inspect their labor. He merely gave a wage to all who received the call to labor in the vineyard. That's the beauty of this. There's an equality that is truly hated by most people, but is the most wonderful reality of the grace of God. The problem is we have so hedged our bets upon our labor that we don't want Him to be good. And this is the word that we're going to look at here in a second. We want Him to be what we would call fair. We don't want a good God. We want a fair God. And what does that mean to us? Well, what that means to us is that we get more than someone else. Because that's fair. They do not work as hard as I do. Again, look at the elder son and the prodigal son story. They didn't work as hard as me. All their screw-ups, all of their mess-ups, all of the things that I have beheld that they have done that doesn't measure up. We don't want a God who's good. We want a God who's fair. And the problem is, our idea of fairness always has our labor attached to it. Who labored more? Who deserves this? The fact is, none of us do. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a gift. The wage we're talking about is a gift because God, no man actually deserved the wage that God has given. We have made Christianity a competition. We've made it a blood sport. We've made it a competitive thing wherein we feel justified to compare ourselves among ourselves, to point fingers, to believe that we have more or have something greater or have something better due to our efforts. The answer, however, of this man is phenomenal and very significant, and we need to consider it. The answer that he gives these people who are angry is so beautiful. He says to them, friend, or he says to one of them, it says, friend. Well, he said, there's a few things he says, but it ultimately comes down to this. Are you looking at me with hatred and anger because I'm good? And that statement made me consider for a long time the other day. Just made me sit and think. All of these things that we do as an attempt to enhance. Now, I'm not speaking about, you know, praying and all of the things that we do as believers. I'm not making light of the doing of any of those things. I'm saying when these things become a way and a means to deepen or further or achieve or whatever, to acquire something from God because that particular effort or work in our own mind warrants and puts God in a state of indebtedness to us. Those type of things is what we do. That's the pursuit of most believers, unfortunately. But I begin to consider that is basically our arrogant way of thumbing our nose up at the goodness of a God who gives equally to all the same wage. We say, no, that's not enough. That's not right. And I'm telling you, it's true. People see what we teach, what we talk about. Christ in you is the fullness of everything. And people say, well, that's not enough. Why isn't it? You know why it's not enough to most? Because their heart is set and their bets have been set, or they've hedged their bets upon their ability to get God to give to them out of indebtedness something more because they have worked for it. That's not the way it works. Our God is good. And that word good, I looked it up, and it is agathos in the Greek. It is, if you go to a Strong's Concordance and look numbers up in the Strong's, it is number 18. And it is a good that is intrinsic, meaning it is the nature, it is internal. It's not, there's another word, I think it's kalos or something like that. It's 2546, or I can't remember, but it is also translated as good in the Greek. And it actually means good as to appearance, something that is beautiful and used for display or outward appearance. The good, he says, I am good, speaks of something that is intrinsic to his very being. It is his nature. And as I read that and looked that up, it took me into back to Romans, in Romans 7. And this is the part I want to consider with you. We're just talking. I don't really have the time right now with all this going on. I don't know when I'm going to be able to sit and just do a session with you. So where I have notes in front of you, I'm sitting here looking at the steering wheel right now. But I just thought we needed to maybe look at this. And I just want you to be able to have this stuff in front of you so you can study it for yourself. If you go to Romans 7, in the light of what this man says, and in the light of these people's hatred and their complaining because not of the payment. Now, they supposed they should have more, but it was based upon the labor that they had put in up against the lack of labor in their mind that the last ones hired had put in, and the fact that the same payment mean they were equal. Now, remember what Paul says, that the whole thing was about the equality, that they should be fellow heirs. And in Christ, it's the same. We've talked throughout these Roman lessons that in Adam we had an equality given to us in Adam of death and sin and corruption. There was no man more sinful than another. Remember, we gave the example, a man with a needle sticking in his arm and a baby in a crib, all equal as far as internal condition of death, sin, and corruptibility. There is no difference. All have sinned. There is an equality that has been distributed through the headship of Adam. Well, guess what? There is a greater, you could say, equality that is distributed through the presence of the greater headship of Christ, the headship that has supplied all spiritual blessings to all who are found in him. That's an equality, again, that many, many people do not appreciate and really do not want. Now, they want the pay. They just don't want someone else to get the same. For them, it seems to cheapen the whole thing, but it doesn't cheapen anything. It is, it puts all of the weight and it makes all of the defining of what is worthy, what is good, what is required, it puts all of that upon God and not upon us. We want it all to be upon us so that we could have our levels and we can have, I'm up here, you're down there. I'm better than you are because of these things. I hate to say it that way, but that does attract, that mindset does attract so many people. But if you look at the word good, as it is said by this Lord of the vineyard, you hate me because I'm good? I began to look at Romans 7 again because we talked about this. There are two words that are translated good in Romans 7, and they're two different Greek words, and it's the two that I just pointed out to you. One is kalos and one is agathos. And agathos, again, means intrinsically good, that which is good due to nature, inborn, internally good. And that's the word good when Paul says, the good that I would do. In me, that is in my flesh, there is no good. That is, there is no intrinsic goodness. Because I am not born of that good. I am not born of that seed. I am not of that kind inborn by birth, by nature. Because he was still a man unregenerate under the law. But he did try to do what was good, and he did the good. And that was the outward displays of the law. But when he would try to do it, There was still that internal condition. And there's a couple of places where it's said that way. In me, there is nothing good. There is no intrinsic. The good that I would do, that intrinsic good, I could not do it, even when I tried. It's not possible. This is the same picture we're seeing in this parable. And here's this man, this good man, this Lord of the vineyard, who had in his mercy came and found these idle men who no one had called and no one had hired, who were fruitless and barren in the marketplace, and he goes out and he finds them and brings them in and gives them a wage that they would not have henceforth, or not have before then have gotten if he wouldn't have come and found them. And now they have the arrogance to push back and say, this is not enough. I deserve more. He has given us all the good that we intrinsically can never be, can never have nothing of that good in us. He has provided that good thing, that through every prophecy, promise, typification, throughout the testimonial age, that good thing was always promised. And we have, by the very presence of Christ, received the good thing that was to come. I wanted you to see the two connected here. Paul says man does not have in himself, because of the nature that governs him from within. New birth brings in to the soul by grace. That good thing comes because the God who is good provides it in and as himself. How dare we, in so many ways, in so many cases, thumb our nose up and say, I worked hard for this. I've labored for this. No. The God who is good has provided you with a wage that you could never earn by your work, by your efforts, by your labor. Let us not treat this gift, treat this wage, as a trivial matter. Because he who is intrinsically good has gifted us with the intrinsic goodness of himself, because we had no hope of it otherwise. And I know this repeats so many things, but I am convinced that this is the key. I'm convinced that we need to hear this more and more, not just that repetition brings about understanding, because understanding comes in the revealing of the Son, but repetition is necessary. And where I see it, it is repeated throughout almost every chapter of every book. It is repeated throughout. The God who is good has provided this good gift to those in whom there is no good thing. There are other places in the scripture I can't remember right now that speaks of that. But to suffice it to say, let us not come before this God who is this good and offer to him our labor, offer to him our works, the exertion of our energies, as proof that we deserve something else or something more. No, he has given out of the riches of his supply, out of the abundance of him, his grace, and the riches and abundance of his own self, and provided the intrinsic inborn nature that is good to these earthen vessels that had no good thing in them. May this be the one that we set our hearts to know. May this be the rest that our souls enjoy. The good God who has withheld no good thing from us. So, again, guys, I said that would be a short little deal. I'm hoping that it maybe clarified some things, maybe got some of you thinking, looking into these things. I hope so. Again, I'm waiting. I hope the rain wasn't too much of a distraction, but I'm just waiting to hear word from my wife on the condition of her dad sitting in the car here, social distancing and all. But speaking of that, I hope you guys are safe. Please use common sense. Don't freak out over things, but just be smart and stay safe during this time. And know that I love you, and I'm always praying for those of you who listen that I know who are listening. And I appreciate you so much from the bottom of my heart, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for the love and the way you show that to us. Bill, your books should be on the way. You should be getting them any day now. Thank you so much. With that being said, guys, I'll just let you go. It's raining harder. I know it's harder to hear me. I love you. Amen.